Og vejret en del sol, men især ved kysterne lokale slud- eller havlbyer. Temperaturen mellem 4-7 grader her til eftermiddag, men i nat bliver det rigtig koldt. Temperaturen kommer ned mellem frysepunktet og 6 graders frost. Nu kan du høre aflyttet med Anders Kjærulf.
Velkommen til Aflyttet, programmet, der iført skæg og blå briller, og som den her gang er taget langt, langt væk fra det hele. Aflyttet befinder sig på Island. Jeg sidder lige nu på en klippeside. Island er en ø, der er cirka 6 gange så stor som Danmark, men der er kun lidt over 300.000 indbyggere. Jeg befinder mig som sagt lige midt ude i naturen nær en gejser, som ligger sådan et par hundrede meter væk fra mig selv, hvor der sprøjter vand og damp op i luften en gang imellem. Men det er ikke den her gejser, og for den sags skyld naturen, som er emnet her i dag. Island, det er nemlig langt, langt mere end de her blå laguner, gejser og små elverfolk. Det er også et højteknologisk samfund i en rivende forandring. Oven på det store økonomiske krak i 2008, der er der opstået et nyt Island, hvor man blandt andet satser benhårdt på at blive fremtidens dataly, og hvor sådan noget som ytringsfrihed og en fuldkommen fri og uafhængig presse, det er sådan noget, der er i gang med at blive skrevet ind i en ny Islands forfatning. En forfatning, der er skrevet af helt almindelige islændinge. Teksten til den her forfatning, den har været sendt i en slags høring på sociale medier, på Facebook og Twitter. Den er blevet det, der man kalder for crowdsourcet. Og bagefter så er den blevet behandlet af et folkevalgt forfatningsudvalg på 25 personer. Sidste lørdag, der bestemte Island via en folkeafstemning, at det papir, som hele den her, for det her forfatningsudvalg har udarbejdet, det skulle danne grundlag for den nye forfatning, der så skal vedtages igennem altinget. Det skal vi høre meget mere om her i programmet, der kalder sig for Aflyttet, og som drøner rundt i det store blinkende overvågningssamfund, vi alle sammen har fået hver vores lille ø i. Jeg hedder Anders Kjærulf. Velkommen til. Du lytter til Radio 24/7. Programmet, det hedder Aflyttet, og vi sidder på en klippeside i Island. En gang, der lå der også en stor NATO-base her i nærheden, men amerikanerne, de er taget hjem, og de har kun efterladt en række noget kedelige små huse i falmede farver midt på området, hvor gaderne pludselig kan hedde sådan noget som Bunker Hill. Inde i et anonymt udseende fabriksområde, der gemmer dele af Islands fremtid sig. Her bor et af de store datacenter, som hoster fremtidens websites. Og lige præcis der, hvor vi skal hen nu, det har en ganske særlig mening for programmet Aflyttet. Det er nemlig her, vores website aflyttet.dk er det bor. Det er simpelthen her, vores server ligger. Problemet med sådan noget som datacenter, det er køling, og for aflyttet.dk's vedkommende, så handler det også rigtig meget om sikkerhed. Vi vil nemlig være helt sikre på, at hvis I skulle finde på at sende os nogle utrolig interessante mails med noget virkelig dybt og vigtigt og hemmeligt, at der så ikke er nogen, der kan komme og tage det fra os igen, eller for den sags skyld føre det tilbage til jer. Og det kan de ikke på Island, og det hænger sammen med en utrolig masse forskellige love, som vi også kommer ind på igen senere på, her i programmet. Men jeg tog altså på besøg her på det her datacenter for at se, hvordan Island passer godt på mine data, og jeg talte også senere med den islandske udbyder af mit website fra 1984.is. Det går jeg over telefon, fordi han befinder sig nemlig i New York. Men først, så skal vi indenfor i det store datacenter. Det er ikke ukompliceret. Der er meget sikkerhed. Man skal forbi. Aflyttet er på datacenterne i Reykjavik, hvor Helgi Helgason viser rundt.
Well, here we have what we call a loading dock. This is basically the where we receive equipment into the site. Trucks come here with the computer equipment on pallets. If you would, we bring it into this area here. Actually, the doors that are to the outside here are out to the area which is within the security fence. And so, as same way as you went through a man trap on the way in here. There's a truck trap on the outside here, meaning there's double gates where you open the first gate, allow the truck in, close behind him, and then allow him to the inner gate. And then we monitor both the front and the back ends of the truck with cameras, so there's no piggybacking, no tailgating going on. Secure that. Same here, there's an interlock between the doors, so if one of those doors to the outside is open, you can't open the door into the next security area. So we're keeping people away from areas that they shouldn't be in. We have, within this area, we have a, what you call a security cage, and that's just for temporary storage for customer equipment. If they need to store equipment here on the pallets for, say, a day or two, they can keep it in there.
Før vi overhovedet når indenfor, skal vi forbi en vagt, tonsvis af kameraer og et sikkerhedstjek. Bagefter går vi gennem to såkaldte man-traps, mandefælder, rum, der kræver kode både at komme ind i og ud af igen. Selve bygningen og datacenteret er overvåget 24 timer i døgnet. Der er nødgeneratorer, der kan holde det hele i gang i op til 3 dage, og alting er brandsikret til ukendelighed. Og der er en god grund til at passe på indholdet herinde. Indenfor holder en række kontroversielle websites til. Websites, der blandt andet tilhører 1984 IS, en DNS-service, der vil gå meget langt for sine kunder.
Was that the 1984 company was started by me and my partner Sigurður Einarsson. And it's, I mean, the name says it all, really. I mean, we were very worried about the like a lot of people that with our background in technology and networking, we're very worried about privacy issues and the users the issues that are surround the emerging online society, and we wanted to, like most people that think about these matters at all, we were worried about the state of things and the direction that it is, everything seems to be going. So the increase in surveillance, the decrease in privacy, and we decided that we wanted to offer services with integrity, that we would establish a hosting service, a hosting company that would offer privacy and where we would have our clients' backs, where our clients' rights to freedom of speech and freedom of expression would be put before profit.
Mordur Ingolfsson ejer 1984 IS, men bor i New York. Det er der en god grund til. Han har brug for en hel del rigtig gode advokater til at forsvare mange af de sites, han har på 1984 IS. Kunderne er de undertrykte, dissidenter, aktivister og folk, der ikke kan få lov til at udtrykke sig i deres hjemlande. Det er de vigtige. Men der er også folk, som de ikke vil have med på 1984 IS. Man vil ikke have pornografi, ingen salg af medicinalvarer og ikke noget med våbenhandel. Det er forbudt. Resten har 1984.is' fulde opbakning.
Well, there's a lot of political dissidents and around the world people are expressing themselves in delicate situations such as political climate, religious climate where intolerance is prevalent, and these are the people that we want to serve, the people that need to speak out and for some reason have a hard time doing it because of some sort of oppression. We like to serve the oppressed and those that are silenced. What we do not like, what we refuse to do, is to be used. 1984 Hosting Company is not for publishing hate speech or pornography or selling pharmaceuticals or arms. This we refuse to do. We want to do. We want to serve the oppressed and try to create a platform for people to speak from. And we will defend our users. We will defend our customers in court. Someone has successfully forced 1984 hosting company to take down a website. This has happened one time, and we fought that all the way. And it only lasted 3 months. Then we got to put the site back up. But we fight all legal efforts to force us to take down the speech. All the way through the Icelandic court system.
Der er simpelthen så meget overvågning og kontrol af websites, at vi bliver nødt til at bygge 1984.is, siger Mordur og fortsætter. Vores navn siger alt. Han har allerede måttet gennem en række retssager her på Island for at undgå udlevering af data og navne fra folk, der har lagt informationer her. Hvem de var, kan han ikke fortælle meget mere om, men 1984.is vil gå langt for kunderne. Meget langt. Og han er stadig ked af den ene gang, han tabte en retssag, og et af hans sites blev lukket i 3 måneder, før det kom op igen. 1984 IS benyttede sig at køre sagen igennem forskellige lag af det islandske retssystem. Mordur giver ikke op.
We just, the reason why it's placed in Iceland is simply this, that we're from this island. But that's changing. I mean, if and when we manage to get implemented fully, the Icelandic Modern Media Initiative as a legal framework to protect freedom of speech in the Icelandic jurisdiction, that will make a lot of difference. And this is what we're working on. I mean, we 1984 is a supporter of IMEI, and I'm on the board of IMEI, and I mean, currently there's nothing special about Iceland, but there will be if we succeed in our efforts. The need, it has always been there. It probably always will be. I mean, it's the suppression of this dissent, political and religious and different kinds suppression of people expressing their thoughts will probably always be a problem, and therefore there will always be need for companies that value integrity and protect their customers, and also there will always be a need for a safe haven for freedom of expression and freedom of speech, such as IMEI is supposed to. It's meant to, the need that IMEI is meant to address.
Egentlig var det tilfældigt, at 1984.is kom til at ligge på Island. Vi var islændinge, så her kom det til at ligge, fortæller Mordur, men i fremtiden bliver Island et godt sted at have den slags liggende. Anderledes. Når den nye forfatning er gennemført, bliver det bedre at have data på Island end alle andre steder i hele verden, siger han. IMEI, Icelandic Modern Media Initiative, har lovforslag til beskyttelse af ytringsfriheden. Når de er gennemført helt, er det en helt ny situation.
As you might suspect, this is not a data hall. This is basically a warehouse building, the data hall, the modular data center that you see the side of here in front of you is basically a building within a building. So this is just a warehouse shell. It's unheated area, and that's part of this free cooling concept that we have. And so like I say, unheated area, we pull the cold air from the outside through some filters, use fan to do that, and then we pressurize the waste to cold air.
This is mostly just a promise. This is what we have to do. We do it by just declaring this. We declare that we will protect our customers' right to speech. This is why we're there. We're bound by the same laws as everybody else. We have just ordinary terms of service where, that that our customers will have to abide. And this is it's a promise. It's a declaration, and it can be read on our website. It's a, that we will protect our customers, and we have repeatedly have done that. We go to court. We our lawyer is busy defending our customers from attack. And I'm not sure if this answers your question, but and you know we from technological standpoint, I mean we don't advertise the placement of our servers, and we distribute our data all over the world. I mean, even if someone would bomb, would put a nuclear bomb to Reykjavik, that wouldn't make any difference. That would mean a couple of hours downtime for most of the sites that we serve. So, yeah.
Men hvad er behovet for et superbeskyttet website med særlige love uden for politi, efterretningstjenester og andre myndigheders rækkevidde? Det er stort, mener Mordur, og evigt. Det, som 1984 IS tilbyder, er et løfte. Et løfte om at beskytte kunderne, så langt det overhovedet er muligt. 1984.is har et højt mål af fysisk sikkerhed. Dataerne ligger nemlig ikke kun her på Island, men er distribueret over hele verden. Hvis en atombombe skulle falde over Reykjavik, vil det kun betyde et par timers nedetid, fortæller Mordur. Men hvem er det, der er ude efter kundernes data?
This is not always clear, because I mean, we can make educated guesses in some cases, but it's lawyers, it's law firms that are you know that represent those parties. I mean, it's government, the governmental agencies, it's the police from different states that you know demand data, demand shutdown, etc. It's governmental agencies, police forces, it's private companies. This is I mean, those that try to oppress, there's a lot of efforts, oppression and oppression efforts all over the world. I mean the players are you know companies, governments, police forces, intelligence agencies, etc.
Mordur fra 1984 IS er ikke optimistisk for fremtiden. Det bliver værre med myndighedernes blandelser i, hvad folk skriver og taler om. George Orwells bog kom alt for tidligt ud, mener han. 1984 er nu.
With increased usage of communications technology, digital communications, etc. And you know this all-encompassing culture of social media, etc. Surveillance on a extremely massive scale, surveillance encompassing all communications is possible now, but it's never been possible, or well, it probably has been possible, but not feasible. Now they can just they profile the proverbial surveillance industry has the capability of surveilling everything and profiling everyone, and they actually do. So yes, in a sense, this is true. 1984 is now.
This is the data hall itself. Computer racks, 19-inch rack, nothing unusual here. What you would expect in any data center. Here you see the power feeds into each rack. You've got two bus bars, one fed from the A system and another one from the B system. And each cabinet got feeds from both bus bars, so A and B system into the rack.
Indenfor i datacenteret har vi måske fundet aflyttet.dk's server, eller i hvert fald det skab, den måske står i. Måske, for ingen her ved helt præcis, hvor den står i rummet, og det er måske meget godt.
Du har stillet ind på Radio 24/7-programmet, der hedder Aflyttet, og vi er ude i naturen på Island. Lige nu står vi ved siden af Guldfossen, som vinker nedad her lige ved siden af mig. Det er det, man kan høre herude ved siden af. Og lige om lidt, så skal vi videre med endnu en historie her fra Island, nemlig historien om Birgitta Jónsdóttir, som er medlem af det islandske parlament, det der bliver kaldt Altinget. Jeg besøgte hende på hendes kontor for at høre mere om, hvordan man fører politik herop, og hvad man ser, hvordan man ser fremtiden for et land, som satser så hårdt på pressefrihed og på nye medier. Og så vil jeg rigtig gerne høre noget om, hvad forholdet mellem Island og Wikileaks er, fordi det er nemlig meget interessant. Hør bare her. Birgitta Jónsdóttir er medlem af Islands Alting, deres folketing, og så kommer hun fra partiet The Movement. Jeg har mødt hende på hendes kontor i Altinget, og her talte vi blandt andet om Islands fremtid og om situationen for ytringsfrihed i hele verden lige nu, og den bryder hun sig ikke om.
The laws that are constantly being put in place all over the world to take away these fundamental rights for a healthy democracy to function, freedom of expression and speech. And actually it's ironic that I was just reading a very interesting article on how we in our developed countries have actually just lost the battle if in the offline world. So now we have to make sure that the online world will not be taken over by the same politically correct groups that are at large in our world and have stolen away these really fundamental rights. And you know, I mean, you have your experience in Denmark with the drawings of Muhammad. And many people are sort of, or many countries are caving into, be it, you know, it's not only about, you know, Muhammad and people getting offended because of free speech in relation to that, but it is on so many different other issues. And I really think that if we can actually stop the development online and keep it and take back some of the stuff that's been taken away from us there, then we have a chance to actually restore freedom of speech in our world. But it is not only in China where we have lost the battle, it is everywhere. And so I am forever thankful to, for example, WikiLeaks, for like one of the things that I think was the most important thing they did was not necessarily exposing stuff from various countries, and obviously mostly from the US because the largest leak was from there, but now with countries all over the world that are stepping up surveillances on their civilians and so forth through private corporations. What WikiLeaks really did for our world was to get on the agenda the really poor status of freedom of information, the really poor status for whistleblowers and sources, and the lack of ability for the mainstream media to report.
Birgitta Jónsdóttir har stor sympati for WikiLeaks for at vise den vestlige verden, hvor miserabel det står til med ytringsfriheden. Hun taler længe og passioneret og når også lige at få Danmark med i strømmen. Sagen om Muhammed-tegningerne er et symptom på det politisk korrekte systems måde at håndtere ytringsfriheden på, som hun mener er absolut, selvom reaktionerne fra systemerne kan være voldsomme fra tid til anden. Det fik hun selv at mærke, da hun i 2009 arbejdede sammen med Julian Assange omkring videoen Collateral Murder, mor med sikkerhed.
Hotel 26, Greedy Horse 18, have 5 to 6 individuals with AK-47s. Request permission to engage.
Light them all up.
Come on, fire!
Videoen var en del af de data, som Bradley Manning smuglede ud fra det amerikanske forsvar, og den viste, hvordan skydeløsne amerikanske skytter i 2 kamphelikoptere dræber godt 20 mennesker. Her er 2, der var ansat hos Reuters. To børn bliver også såret. Det amerikanske militær hævde, at der var tale om fjendtlige tropper og oprørere. Videoen er pt. Set over 13 millioner gange, og den forårsagede verdensomspændende fordømmelse af USA, men også kraftige reaktioner fra det amerikanske system, der siden da har holdt whistlebloweren Bradley Manning i fængsel, anklaget for at sætte amerikanske soldaters liv i fare.
So, yes, I did work as a volunteer for WikiLeaks, and in 2009 I co-produced the video Collateral Murder from the helicopter where civilians were gunned down. And my name is forever attached to WikiLeaks. I also acted as a spokesperson for the video and for a brief period of time for the organization. And I have seen the impact directly of it, because obviously I've been following it very closely, and I have seen the ripple effects and the awareness building as a result of it. And I think that many people don't recognize this, or they choose to ignore it and just focus on the beautiful rogue elements of WikiLeaks. You know, WikiLeaks is not an institution. It is a collaboration of some of the most creative people in the world in the media industry, and, you know, some of the best investigative journalists in the world, some of the most courageous whistleblowers in the world, and some of the most creative hackivists you can find.
Collateral Murder havde stor effekt, siger Birgitta Jonsdottir. Den viste, hvad man kunne med WikiLeaks, hvor kraftfuld det var. Men WikiLeaks er mere end bare Julian Assange. Det er en samling af meget dygtige journalister, hackere og aktivister, og så er det jo et koncept, ikke bare et navn. Birgitta Jonsdottirs medvirken i produktionen af Collateral Murder fik konsekvenser. Selvom hun altså er medlem af Altinget og tidligere medlem af det islandske sikkerhedsråd, er hun muligvis persona non grata i USA. Hun tør i hvert fald ikke længere rejse dertil. Hun er nemlig så upopulær, at USA's regering har forsøgt at få åbnet hendes Twitter-konto i 2010.
Hotel 26, Crazy Horse, 18.
Oh yeah, look at those dead bastards.
And but my personal experience may be the most disturbing is the fact that the US government actually put in an order to Twitter, and this was to really late in 2010. That Twitter was to hand over my personal data from them. Not my tweets, they are of course public, but my personal messages, my IP number, which is similar to getting information from your mobile phone, where you've been and so forth, and other stuff that, like bank information and addresses and things. They could have simply called me, I could have given it to them, but they decided to do it this way, and Twitter, and they ordered Twitter to do this without my knowledge within 3 days. And the only reason I got to know about this was because Twitter took it to court to unseal the secret document, and they won. And then I took it to court in the US. We went through 3 different court stages. I worked with one of my favorite organizations. They offered to represent me for free because it was a groundbreaking or an example case, the Electronic Frontier Foundation. And the ACLU also represented me. And my case, it's very depressing that we lost, because it means in the first ruling, the judge said that basically every one of us that uses social media, we have to rely on the social media to have our backs. And it is obviously not always in the interest of the social media to do it, or the capacity to represent millions of people and figure out who to cover what back is basically impossible. And then it really doesn't matter where the cloud is. You know, if the cloud ever passes through the U.S. territory, they can dig into it.
Hotel 26, Crazy Horse 18.
Den amerikanske regering bad simpelthen om at få alle oplysninger om hende ud af Twitter. Ikke kun det, hun skrev, det var offentligt, men alt det andet, hvem hun fulgte, og ikke mindst alle hendes private beskeder. Twitter tog Hansen op og gik i retten, og de vandt i første omgang. Men da Begisa forsøgte at køre en principiel sag om, hvorvidt USA overhovedet har ret til at kræve al den info af brugere af sociale medier, så tabte hun. Retten erklærede nemlig, at det var op til de sociale medier selv at bestemme, om de ville beskytte deres kunder eller ej.
Roger, we're gonna move down there.
Roger, we'll cease fire. We won't shoot anymore.
And of course, another disturbing thing that most people are not aware of is that let's take this, and every time we talk about social media or online stuff, people don't register it with the offline world. So let's put it into reality, what the Department of Justice did to me. They basically had their agents go into my home and sift through all my personal stuff, all my letters, handwritten snail mail letters, and bank statements, and where I'd been. And they then took whatever they pleased, and nobody could stop them. I mean, it would have been an uproar if they actually did this physically, but because they did it in the virtual online world, online world, then people don't understand how serious it is. And there are also three other companies that were forced to hand over information about me, and we cannot get it unsealed. The judge refuses to give my lawyers this information, but most people think that it is Google, Facebook, and probably Skype or some other company. But, you know, until I get this information, I am forced to believe that it is Google and Facebook.
Hotel 27, go ahead.
Roger, I'm just trying to make sure that you guys have my turb over.
Det kan virkelig fjollet at gå op i en Twitter-konto. Men hvis man sammenligner det med, at det vil svare til at få en husundersøgelse hjemme hos sig selv og få åbnet og gennemlæst alle sine private breve, så kan man måske bedre forstå det. Samtidig har Birgitta Jonstorch her fundet ud af, at der faktisk er tre andre firmaer, som USA's regering også har bedt om at udlevere alle data om hende. Hun og hendes advokat må ikke få at vide, hvem det er, men hun tror, at to af dem er Google og Facebook.
Come on, buddy.
I gotta do is pick up a weapon.
And I think that this is very troubling because most people don't understand that, you know, even if you think that, you know, you haven't done anything wrong, your friend might have done something wrong. And then you are automatically under surveillance.
Når balladen mellem hende og den amerikanske regering bekymrer hende så meget, skyldes det en ny lov i USA, NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, der giver det amerikanske militær mulighed for at tilbageholde hvem som helst, hvor som helst, lige så længe de har lyst, uden dommerkendelse. Og nej, det er ikke nogen joke, siger hun. Flere har allerede været tilbageholdt i USA i månedsvis, bare fordi de kendte nogen, USA var ude efter. Og i hendes tilfælde, der kender hun altså Julian Assange, der er meget, meget eftersøgt i USA. Og selvom hun er medlem af det islandske alting, deres folketing, så tør hun ikke rejse ind i USA. Og det islandske regeringsapparat anbefaler hende faktisk at lade være. Det er muligt, de ikke vil gøre mig noget, men jeg er egentlig mor, og jeg tør simpelthen ikke tage chancen, siger hun.
Or you might be associated with a cyber-terrorist organization like WikiLeaks. You know, we have been defined, or WikiLeaks was defined as a cyber-terrorist organization by the Vice President of the United States. Then you are automatically a subject. And under this subject, because the U.S. government has just put through a new law like a year ago, in addition to a law called NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, it is now be legalized that the U.S. military can go anywhere and pick up anybody and put them into indefinite detention without access to lawyer or court. And this is no joke. I mean, people have actually gone through being lost for 5 months for doing nothing, absolutely nothing, because they accidentally went into some, you know, dragnet, just like me. I mean, they went fishing for trying to criminalize me, but mostly to criminalize who get their hands on Assange and Bradley Manning. And thus they just cast out the nets really far. And if you get dragged into it accidentally, you are in very serious trouble. I'm very thankful that the U.S. government went after me because, you know, it got a lot of attention. And that means that the issue gets attention. And I've always been a human guinea pig anyway, so I'm used to it. It doesn't really, you know, on some deep level, it really doesn't bother me that they went after me, you know, personally, but it really bothers me that they went after what they went after, if you know what I mean. It is my responsibility to draw attention to that. But I can't travel to the States. You know, the State Department in Iceland advises me not to. I don't know. I can't get information if there is a grand jury investigation on me. My name has been mentioned in the Bradley Manning trials. But I really wouldn't mind actually going and seeing, you know, what sort of welcome I would get.
You should try it.
But, you know, it's easier said than done, because if I try it, I'm a single parent. If something happens, you know, I also have to be show some responsibility as a parent in that regard.
Men hvordan kan det være, at der netop kommer så meget ballade ud af Island? Og hvordan ser hun Islands rolle i fremtiden?
You know, the myth of Iceland, because a lot of the stuff about Iceland is a little bit of a myth. With some roots of truth in it. But just like in Brave New World, and I really encourage everybody that listened to this to reread the book and check out the name of the island where they sent off the dissidents and the freethinkers. I'm not going to reveal the name of the island, but you can guess. Nobody noticed it, what the name of the island is, but there is a name for it. And so we can serve as that island, a sort of a beacon of hope that it is possible to have more direct democracy. It is possible to have proper accessibility to information. It is possible for people that risk their lives in the external world from this island to publish their stuff here, and it's not going to be taken down. I mean, that is a huge a problem, that because of these international legal jurisdictions, that you know, there isn't any more this sense of local jurisdiction. And I don't think that people understand this, but this is really what is happening because of the internet. And we shouldn't allow companies to or countries to set up walls. We find it unacceptable that Iran is making their own version of the internet. Well, isn't it unacceptable that, you know, copyright corporations are allowed to put up walls online? I mean, that is the beginning of the great big wall, isn't it? Once you have the example, it is very difficult to turn back. And that is one of the reasons I've been understanding that the copyright reform movement and the freedom of information movement are exactly the same movement. And that is why we have, except maybe in Denmark, the rise of the pirates in every country of the world. I mean, today or yesterday, I saw news from Falkvinge about the first representative in a local parliament got voted in the Czech Republic because of these issues, and so it's a beginning of a new era as the world, the true globalization is actually online.
Birgitta Jonsdottir ser Island som et dataly i fremtiden. Et sted, hvor der er fuld ytrings- og pressefrihed, hvor journalister virkelig kan give den gas, uden at der sker dem eller deres materiale noget, men også et sted, der måske kan være med til at ændre hele verden. Og så har hun en anbefaling til alle aflyttes lyttere. genlæse Aldous Huxleys roman Fagre Ny Verden og tjekke så lige navnet på den ø, som menneskeheden finder håb i til sidst. Øen der har et navn. Måske er den fremtiden.
Yeah, that is my hope, that we can be the first safe havens. I would really like to see many, many more safe havens, because we are, you know, some of the criticism about the safe haven being in Iceland is because we are relatively small and it is easy to attack us. And it's important to have more than one library, Alexandria Library, so if they want to torch Iceland, that there is another copy of it somewhere else. So we need to, I would really, my dream is actually that we can start here and then expand the shield over Scandinavia. I think that Scandinavia is the would be the ideal platform for this sort of safe haven, because Sweden has shown that they have been very much ahead of the curve when it comes to awareness about the importance of being able to express yourself, and Norway has also shown an exceptionally brave resistance against the data retention laws and so forth. I'm waiting for, you know, in Finland, obviously, they have also been ahead of the curve in many ways. And, you know, I'm sure we can find some good spots in Denmark if we dig. But, you know, I would so much like Denmark to be a part of this. I know that there are some really great people in Denmark that really are waiting for an opportunity to do it. And I think that the sooner we create a Scandinavian think tank on how we can actually achieve this together, it would be so much more stronger. And it would actually, because there was just an article in that today that I saw, as you can hear, I'm an information junkie, that Denmark is, not Norway is losing its role as a sort of a negotiator for peace. And so maybe we can use this as a new territory for standing up for these basic human rights that I know that the people in Scandinavia have been considered to be more developed in regard to than many others. And obviously the United States has lost, actually have the most dangerous law of all the laws to take away these rights, and that is the Patriot Act. And while they have that act going on that overrides all these beautiful parts of their constitution, we need to create a new place where the meaning for freedom of information and expression actually has foundation in the democracy.
I virkeligheden er det en fælles nordisk rolle, der skulle spilles her, mener Birgitta Jonsdottir. Norden har fælles interesser i menneskerettigheder, mener hun, et fælles lovsprog og et samarbejde mellem de nordiske lande kunne skabe et nyt verdenseksempel på en fremtidig måde at gøre det på. Men hvad så med EU? Jeg gør Birgitta Jonsdottir opmærksom på, at de nordiske lande faktisk glider længere og længere ind i en europæisk unionsk sammenhæng, og at det nordiske samarbejde allerede er yderst begrænset. Dele af det islandske alting ser også mod EU for tiden. Faktisk er der allerede indsendt en ansøgning om optagelse. Birgitta Jonsdottir er skeptisk. Mest fordi EU ikke længere er, hvad det har været. EU er gået alt for langt for freden og den europæiske union, mener hun. Man har accepteret korrupte regimer som Grækenland. Det er løbet løbsk. Det minder meget om Island før krakket. Og hvis Norden først opgiver alle vores egne særkender omkring det at skrive love og bedrive demokrati, så er vi alle sammen færdige, mener hun.
The EU is now becoming the United States of Europe. And we're just waiting for the right king to arrive. The king of the bureaucrats will be crowned in Brussels. And this troubles me, actually, because many people that fight for the EU as a really important collaboration did so because it was, and they were willing to sacrifice a lot of their principles for maintaining peace on the continent. And sacrifice in, for example, accepting corruption for peace, everything for peace. And now this peace is actually being threatened by all this corruption that has been accepted to maintain peace is now coming back and hunting some of these countries that the EU should have been much more firm when they were accepted in, like Greece. It could have been dealt with, the corruption in Greece, but they're still, you know, they could have been assisted in dealing with it, because there are many people in Greece that don't want this sort of corruption. So I think it is really high time that the EU countries actually have some responsibility in actually asking, where are we heading? You know, because if you decide that you are giving over all your specialties in lawmaking, you're finished.
Birgitta Jonsdottir er stolt af Island. De har fået noget godt ud af krisen. Efter hendes mening er krisen god til at rydde op i nepotisme og korruption i systemerne, for selvom Island i flere internationale undersøgelser regnes for et ukorrupt og velfungerende system, så er det bestemt ikke den virkelighed, almindelige islændinge har levet i årene op til det store bankkollaps i 2008. Snarere tværtimod. Vi er bare gode til at lade som om, siger hun. Havde verdens ledere vidst, at vi var en ren bananstat indeni, så havde bankerne nok heller ikke fået lov til at gå så langt dengang. Med vejen lagt klar til en ny forfatning, er der fine chancer for, at Island klarer sig. Hun ved godt, at verden mest ser landene gennem de skrupelløse bankfolk, dem der blandt andet indtog Danmark i sin tid. Men sådan er hovedparten ikke herop, understreger hun. Vi er anderledes. Lidt vildere end de andre i Norden. Islændinge lever efter, at hvis der ikke er en præcis lov, der siger, at man ikke må, så må man gerne. De tænker ikke i lovens ånd, siger hun. Det håber hun landet bliver bedre til i fremtiden.
Everything collapsed, and it, because we, it was rotten. You know, nepotism is so easy in small communities like Iceland. And, you know, the level of corruption was so high here that, you know, Transparency International ranked us as the least corrupt country in the world, you know, and I still are going fits about it, because it was so bad for, you know, if other countries would have known that we were like, you know, Grand Sicily, it would have been a lot harder to go and expand the banks so much. So it was a huge day, a huge victory for this new vision of Iceland. And it is important to note that, you know, even if there are a handful of people here that behave like some blithering idiots, greedy, selfish, and in particularly they went really with full force into Denmark at one stage, this is not how we want to be. You know, we want to sort of focus on our foundations need to be founded in integrity and honesty. And this is something that's hard for Icelanders, you know. Like in Norway, if it's not written into law and it's sort of part of the common things, people will just not do it unless they are sure. Here, if it is not written in law, people will say, oh, it's not written in law, then I can do it. So the spirit of the law has to be strengthened. This knowledge that we are the system and we are the government. And whenever we try to cheat on it, we're cheating on ourselves. And this you have quite strongly in other Scandinavian countries. That's why probably my fellow friends on the mainland feel that we are a little bit wild. And we shouldn't lose the wilderness. But, you know, we need to start to respect that there is a spirit of law. And I think this is the beginning by having this discussion.
Og her til sidst var det altså Birgitta Jonsdottir, medlem af Altinget, digter og leder af partiet The Movement-bevægelsen på Island, som vi nu forlader for den her gang. Du kan læse mere om, hvad der foregår på Island på vores Facebook-side på facebook.com/aflyttet. Og hvis du har en mail, du gerne vil sende os, eller hvis du vil os et eller andet i det hele taget, så kan du sende os en mail på den mailadresse, der hedder lyt@aflyttet.dk. lyt@aflyttet.dk. Der er også inde på website aflyttet.dk, der står vores krypteringsnøgle, så hvis du vil sende os noget, der er særlig hemmeligt og særlig sensitivt, så kan du kryptere det til os. Så er der kun os og
dig, der ved, hvad der egentlig er i den her mail. Og ydermere, som vi hørte om tidligere her i programmet, så ved du, at hele skidtet ligger sikkert et sted op på Island, bevogtet af forskellige vagter og store sikkerhedssystemer. Aflyttet er ved at være forbi for i dag, men vi skal lige have en ny rapport fra vores cyberkrigskorrespondent Nix. Noget, der faktisk binder sammen med det, vi hørte tidligere med Birgitte Jonstad, for der er nemlig nyt fra WikiLeaks.
This is RT. Now a fresh wave of embarrassment could be about to hit the US.
Light them all up.
Come on, fire!
WikiLeaks har påbegyndt deres næste store release af hemmeligstemplede dokumenter. Det drejer sig om de såkaldte Detainee Policy Release, altså proceduren vedrørende tilbageholdte personer. I bedste WikiLeaks-stil vil de over 100 dokumenter blive udgivet drypvis, for at pressen kan følge med og forhåbentlig skrive lidt uddybende om de forskellige dokumenter.
As WikiLeaks begins releasing over 100 classified files this Thursday, this time they're detailing America's detention procedures, including those in infamous prisons such as Guantanamo Bay and Abu.
Disse 100 dokumenter stammer fra det amerikanske forsvarsministerium og skildrer i Julian Assange egne ord anatomien af bæstet, der er post 9/11's tilbageholdelse, og udstiller det sorte hul, hvor lov og ret ikke eksisterer, hvor personer kan blive tilbageholdt uden spor, udelukkende på det amerikanske forsvarsministeriums bekvemmelighed.
That's right. Being holed up in the Ecuadorian embassy in London doesn't seem to have stopped Julian Assange from working. He's been there for more than 4 months now. In fact, quite the opposite. In fact, whenever I speak to him or to any of his supporters, I say, what's he doing in there? They all say, oh, well, he's working all the time.
De viser omfanget af de tidlige overvejelser af en krig imod en ukendt fjende, og hvordan disse procedurer og retningslinjer har udviklet sig til den permanente undtagelsestilstand, som Amerika nu befinder sig i, her et dekade efter. En af de første dokumenter i denne omgang er en manual for standard operative procedurer fra Camp Delta, som Guantanamo Bay blev kaldt i sin spæde opstart i 2002. Denne manual er grundlaget for, hvordan Guantanamo og alle de andre amerikanske militærfængsler bliver styret, deriblandt det berygtede Abu Ghraib-fængsel, og hvordan indsatte i disse fængsler bliver torteret og behandlet. De beskriver også, hvordan man forsvinder en indsat ved at give vedkommende forskellige ID-numre, når man flytter folk rundt imellem de forskellige fængsler, de såkaldte uansvarlighedsretningslinjer, og hvordan ord og udtryk bliver fordrejet. For eksempel sultestrejke bliver til en frivillig totalfaste.
Certainly, Laura, quite interesting as you say, though. Julian Assange has been holed up in Ecuador's London embassy for 4 months now, but still he's able to do his work with WikiLeaks, all these new documents now coming out.
Ud af de over 100 dokumenter er der cirka 5, som er udgivet indtil videre. Så gå ind på wikileaks.org og læs for jer selv. Hej.
Det har været en tur, jeg aflyttede på Radio 24/7. Jeg hedder Anders Kjærulf. Jeg står midt i naturen, den er også virkelig, på en vulkansk ø, og selvom intet menneske er en ø, så ved jeg, at lige under mig, der er der en masse glødende lava og en brølende magnetisme og ild og jern, der vælter rundt og får vand til at koge og regn til at falde på den jord, vi bor på, sammen med den ensomhed, vi tager med os i seng om natten, som en kæreste, der altid sover med ryggen til, mens hun drømmer og drømmer om at besidde sandheden. Sandheden i en sjæl og et legeme, men det bliver ikke lige nu, men måske om lidt, for nu er der nyheder på Radio 24/7.
Thank you.
我一開機就震啦，即係我係一開機震得太多，我就要啦。